Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Great dictum for our lives. What do I give to God and everybody else? I was looking at the, I try to read what the Pope says on every Wednesday. He has an audience, and some of our group were actually there last week and heard this. And I'm told it was in a bunch of languages, so you may be actually hearing for the first time what he actually said. But I like to read his Wednesday talk, and it's usually about the Sunday reading coming up. And then he also has daily homilies that you can hear on Zenit and Catholic News Agency if you want to read them. They're pretty interesting. And he was talking, I usually don't use somebody else's material, but it was the Pope after all, so I kind of kiped his homily here a little bit, but he told this really interesting story. I couldn't believe this story. If this had happened to me, you'd think I made it up. But the Pope told this story. He said his friend, the former Superior General of the Jesuits, his name was Father Arupe. I think he was Superior when I was in college in the Jesuits. So it's a while ago, the late 60s through the early 80s, a long time. And at some point in his career, Father Arupe was really involved in the missions. The missions are a big deal for Jesuits. Francis Xavier was a missionary, and so they have this great missionary thing. And so Father Arupe was gathering money for some mission. I believe it was Mother Teresa's group or something. And some very wealthy lady sent him a note and said, please come over to my house to accept a big check. I've got a big ceremony to give it to you. And he didn't want to go through he didn't like the publicity and things, but because of the, you know, this, he thought, it'd be a big check or something. He went over there and found that there were a lot of reporters and photographers waiting to see this donation. So Father Arupe was telling the Pope, he wasn't the Pope then, he was saying how humiliating it was for him to go through this ceremony to get this check. No, you can imagine. So anyway, he took the check and he got home. And amazingly enough, he opened the envelope and there was exactly $10 in there. $10. Deacon David and I were talking about that last night at dinner. He said, if only he'd opened it in front of the reporters. But little of that lady's gone to her reward. God love her. I don't think she got much of a reward for that one. But talk about having something proclaimed to the housetops, having the Pope telling the story to the whole world of what this lady did. You know, the thing is that I like that story because it talks about the heart. It's like, when I give, what is my heart? Because Christ sees inside the envelope. I'm not talking about an amount. I'm talking about the envelope of my heart. It's like, when I give, am I giving from my heart, or is it because of some obligation, or in her case, all for show? You know, got no credit for that whatsoever. In fact, it was an example of what not to do. And Christ specifically warns against doing things for show, because we get our reward in this world instead of the world to come. And the way we know this is if something backfires, do I take my gift, my time, or whatever back, or do I continue to give? You know, when I'm not getting something out of it. Interestingly enough, this gospel has some things that I realize that aren't really obvious. Jesus is being set up, of course, by the Pharisees who don't like him. In one of the gospels, it's pointed out the Pharisees loved money, and so they really didn't appreciate Jesus' approach to things. They could tell that he wasn't in love with riches. So they said, by the way, here we have this coin. Is it lawful to pay this tax or not? Well, the coin, there were two types of coins in circulation at that time. One was a Jewish coin, which had a menorah on it, and there's some of those are in existence. And then there was the Roman coin, which was the only legal currency at that time. They were an occupied country. And the legal currency that they had to pay their taxes on and was something that had Augustus Caesar, son of the divine Caesar, a false god, and a living human being to boot. You know, and the other side had some praise of this god on it. So, of course, the question was, can we actually use this for a temple tax? This false god, this goes against the commandments. And so Jesus, You know, one thing he does that you might not notice is, well, he stands there, and you can hear from the tone of his voice how angry he is. He says, "Show me a coin." They pull it out of their pocket. Right away, you can see they're using the coin. You see, they've set him up, but they have no trouble using it. They've got one in their pocket. So without even saying a word, he shows them up to be the hypocrites that they are. So you're asking me this question, but you've got one in your pocket. They've made an accommodation with this, all right. But he of course, Jesus sidesteps all these political issues. I do wish if Jesus could spend an hour with us, we'd ask him all these questions about current events. He'd probably sidestep everything. You see, he sidesteps the politics. He says, okay, that coin has Caesar's head on it. Give it back to him. But don't forget to give God what is his. And so we have to make these judgments in our lives as well. When we're talking about money, I learned a long time ago, I had heard a homily in my home parish when I was in my early 20s, and he was saying, go home and add up everything that you make, and then spend a few days thinking about where you give your time, and like in prayer and to your family, but also your money, and at church and then at other places, everything from McNary Band-Aid to St. Ed's, what percentage of my income is it? And at that time, about 35 years ago, I was giving more to McDonald's than I was to my church. And it really opened my eyes. I thought, wow, my priority is kind of interesting. And it really started a train of thought that to this day continues. When we give to, let's say, to St. Ed's or to another charity, we are invested in that. We are owners. We are shareholders. St. Ed's belongs to all of us. This is our church. We built it. It is what is inside that makes the church. You know, we are investors. Everything that happens here, I can't support everything that goes on here or in the world. I can't be on the front lines giving out food at the food bank, but when I give something to that, I'm the one that's doing it. When people are praying in the Adoration Chapel, I didn't build it, but the graces that come from that, if I've given some money, I'm an investor. I'm going to get a dividend in that. Those are graces that are going to come back to me. We did it together. That's exactly what a spiritual investment does. I can't be everywhere at once. I'm very selective in what I give, but what I give from the heart. What percentage is it? And what percentage of my time do I give to my family, my church, my prayer, my recreation? Is something out of balance? Usually it is. So we go back and we rebalance things, just like you do any kind of investment. All of us want to be good investors. Some have nothing and some have a great deal. We want to end our lives, hopefully not with nothing. Equally, we don't want to end our lives with a big pile of money that did nobody any good, not even ourselves. It's all going to be distributed to someone else someday. But what is going to be mine is the investments that will continue to pay. It's interesting, in speaking of ownership, when I invest spiritually, I own the thing, and it is mine. I'm doing this even if I'm not physically present. One of the little charities that I've given to over the years is something, speaking of Jesuits, the Xavier Society for the Blind. It's just something where the overhead is like 2%, so it's a really good charity. Because I've had eye problems all my life, I like to give to that. I appreciate, you know, that. And I found that, I shared this story at one of the masses, is that, you know, a couple of years ago when I lost my eyesight, I had a complete 100% retinal detachment in the left eye. And in seeing the doctor at OHSU, my doctor was the head doctor at OHSU, and he was telling me about 4 years after this occurred, I got 20/20 vision back in that eye, and he said, you do realize, Father, that this is one in a million recovery. Now, I don't know what that's from, but, you know, I'm glad that I support the Xavier Society for the Blind. And I do think that what we give always comes back to us, especially what we invest in people. That's the real treasure that we have. I say this just from the heart because it's the way I live, and I think as time goes on, it gets more and more valuable. Things go up and down, stock markets and everything else that we do, and this is all temporary stuff. But the Lord and his things, all his investments, look what he's invested in us. He's given us everything. He divested himself of his divinity to become a human being. what could I give to him? There is nothing that we could do that could begin to repay him. So when God asks a little something of us, sometimes it's a sacrifice. Other times it's looking at our spiritual investments, the whole portfolio. We ask God, am I in balance? What do I give to Caesar? What do I give to God?